wouldn't be fair.
Well, who says life is fair? Where is that written? Life isn't always fair.
What are they going to say now?
Let's have a discussion.
I'm not going to take this anymore.
Let's be honest with ourselves here.
God love you. What am I talking about?
This is the Brian Suits Show.
That makes me want to see Princess Bride. By the way, such a great movie. And also, if you're a fan of the movie, the book is actually really, really good. It was written as tongue-in-cheeky as the movie. There you go.
As you wish.
Anyway, America's campuses are erupting, as if we care, with people that someday want to work for you or be in your position where you're going to a job, but may not be. And also on display is sort of some of the empty-headedness of many of the of America's college students. And I happen to catch one that the RNC research Twitter feed, Republican National Committee research Twitter feed, grabbed as well. And it's this person on Columbia University this morning. So students have taken over the administration building. Yes, that administration building. And also, I will be accused of being gratuitous if I recall from the past. John Wayne addressing the 1968 situation because it's just so funny. And that's why I would respect someone that replicated what he was angry about. They would be telling me that they'd heard that obscure piece of audio.
Before you go to that, let me play you some audio of the rioters breaking into Hamilton Hall at Columbia University. I assume it's called
Alexander Hamilton Hall.
Yeah, after one of our founding fathers, because it used to be King's College,
he
right?
He showed up with guns, man. Didn't work out so well for him.
That's the riotous behavior.
I'm watching the some of the footage. They are running around with Palestinian keffiyehs on. Like, they know what... First of all, they don't know how to put them on. And they brought hammers. They intended to break and enter because it was locked. And they broke, reached in the little pane of glass. Because it looks like a nice building. And then opened up the door. And in the meantime, they terrified a bunch of night janitor staff... who were not allowed to leave.
Okay, wait. Before you go on, I have to interject
and they
with
did
producer
excrement.
Privilege for a second. There's a historical...
Are you going to do excrement?
There's a historical perspective that needs to be had here. At the height of revolutionary fervor, there was a riotous mob that went up to King's College and wanted to tar and feather the president because he was a Tory. And you know who got up and stopped the riotous mob? Hamilton. And the rioters just broke into Hamilton Hall at Columbia. Are you seeing the historical irony here?
Where is today's? Here's today's Alexander Hamilton when asked about the janitors being held against their will.
Here's their demands. I think they're just demands.
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
Look, it's literally on video that they're being, by force, being prevented from leaving by any exit of their own free will.
As if.
I think that's a really false narrative.
Alexander Hamilton. Okay, so I don't know. I've never seen the after party. When you tar and feather somebody, how do you remove that?
It doesn't sound...
That's why it was done, I would imagine.
Fun.
Can you imagine how dumb you would look, which is the origin of I think, one of the great sight gags, how you would look with warm tar.
Yeah.
And then feathers.
You're going to be sticky for a few days.
Oh, my God. Because here's why people were familiar with tar at the time. Tar was an extremely common wood treatment. If you went to sea, you got tar on your shoes. If you waterproofed your boots, you got tar on your hands and on your boots. The stuff that I use on my Rossiter Australian cowboy boots is made in North Carolina. It's pine tar and tartar. Real tar. From the Tar Heel State, by the way. But so that's what's happening, and that this person...
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about some of the Jewish...
But it's on video. They weren't collecting for the Red Cross, if I can cross the streams on that one. But I know what you're all saying. Yeah, Gray, well, where's your promised zebra update, smart guy?
Search efforts have intensified for a missing zebra after three others were captured over the weekend.
The animal somehow got out of the trailer on I-90 while being transported to Montana. KMOS Jackie Kent talked to Animal Control about what's next in this very unusual...
And we know way more, courtesy of the Washington Post. Four zebras made a daring highway escape. A bullfighter came to the rescue. There was a former PBR dude and his wife from Mount Vernon, and they helped corral the... The turns out, and also the WAPO with a breakdown that we didn't get yesterday. That there's a filly and two other. I don't know a gelding from a foal, but anyway, they broke it down.
Aren't you kind of rooting for the zebra at this point? I mean, I know that the equine is going to ruin
the
whole.
We're coming up on 48
ecosystem.
Hours, so yeah, I am.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, now that you know that. If they cross genus, they have sterile offspring. So you're not going to fill the storied Mount Si Valley with the Suquamish Valley with zebra.
I mean, though in spite of disrupting the space-time continuum, I think we should be all right in the long term here.
Yeah. So anyway, it's on the loose. No bounty yet for that.
The trailer on nearby I-90.
Next thing I know, I'm watching these three like zebras in a line walk down.
They weren't like zebras, like they were like actual zebras. So they're David Danton is our hero today, former rodeo bullfighter who raises and trains stock dogs, and his wife Julie Danton, a horse trainer from Mount Vernon, Washington, happened to be driving in the area after spending time. Spending the weekend on a ranch corralling cattle. And the woman that was transporting the zebras of interest was coming from Winlock here on the west side. And she was taking the zebras to a petting zoo in Montana. And that is being exiled to a fate worse than death. Go to a pet where you're forced to be mauled by kids. So anyway, I get, you know, it's... I got over my horse in about one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, after you bribe them enough and use their name that they've had all their life, they will follow you around and the whole thing. And I felt Canelo wasn't sufficiently grateful to be on 11 acres of just unending graze. But anyway. Trump, you just heard that, fined $9,000 for contempt of court. And I still say politically, I think it would be to his benefit to actually do a day of jail. The judge said any more of this crap, because he had stuff on Truth Social about the judge should recuse himself and all that. And that is part of the gag order. And they don't enforce it in real time because he just walked out and started holding forth about the judge, and a new poll numbers came out today. The White House is absolutely panicking because this Pew Emerson University poll, because one of the things, one of them remembered that Hubert Humphrey had no chance against Nixon because the country was coming apart. And now Trump is in New York, where this entire media has decided today's story is entitled wealthy, hippie, bourgeois, spoiled kids take over the university.
Including the civil cases. They're controlled by the White House. They're controlled by Democrat judges and prosecutors that were put there specifically. They hate Trump. And the people are getting it. That's why we just came out. A new Emerson poll just was released about 2 minutes ago. And I'm leading by a lot in every swing state and leading in the general election. And you saw the CNN.
And the White House saw the same polls, and they're panicking. And that's why they unleashed all the Sunday shows about the economy, that you yokels don't know that the economy is just doing great right now. You know what? I was... Remember what I always say, half a tank is no tank.
So that's what you always say.
And that's what my friend Mike did at a situational awareness seminar in Bellevue last Saturday, was to get people in that mindset that half a tank is no tank. So I was down to 41 very precisely measured miles by these fine German engineers, and I topped off with my delicious 92 ethanol-free.
Yummy.
Pump stopped at $150. That's half a tank. That's topping off half a tank.
Holy shnikes.
Yeah. So ask me how November's going to go on that. And by the way, just to make a point about this, I'll give Katie Turr from MSNBC some credit here, that it really is important to keep in mind that Trump was handed a pandemic, and the how-to guide has been written for 115 years, and the guy in charge of reading that thing didn't read it. And he was idolized by the left because Trump didn't like him, and he messed up the pandemic. But that'll be thing one.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know-it-all. First thing.
But if you're talking about 2020 or 2021 and the economy and all the people that found themselves on unemployment, the real story there is, how are your states so unprepared on the West Coast for the fraud that would come in? Why are you still adding that up, whether it's Washington and all the Nigerian princes that we've rescued, or the disaster from Disasterfornia? They'll never be honest and add that up. And it was happening in real time, and lots of us saw it. I mean, so kudos to Katie Turr for pointing that out to the evil Nancy Pelosi.
Donald Trump
And she was out, was this yesterday or still Sunday? Was this Sunday cleanup?
I believe this was yesterday.
Because this was the true narrative, man. From Sunday and Monday, because they were reacting on Sunday to a really bad Biden poll, that Trump lost more jobs. So the economy is just going great guns right now.
Worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president.
She has no retort.
Let me repeat what I just said and do it more firmly.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be the first thing on her. Ouch, that was a low blow. I'm sorry. I apologize to all the old ladies.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And he has the worst.
And she's pulling that out of her talking point, by the way. Herbert Hoover. More American jobs were lost. And recall, October 1929 wasn't the real start of the Great Depression. The real start happened months later after we monkeyed with the banks. But Herbert Hoover lost more jobs in the first year of the Depression than every president since him, including the post-World War II Depression. And that's why we called him Hoovervilles. By we, I mean people that named him Hoovervilles. But so anyway, good for Katie Turr pointing out he had a bit of a global pandemic. Demand dried up, you could say, in China.
Back.
But I'll keep putting a fine point on that.
No.
That was a global pandemic.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, and ready, what's your pushback?
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other...
Well, these go to 11. I mean, that's crazy. Speaking of hangover from the pandemic, this is thing two, by the way.
Second thing.
So I don't know if this is going to go down as the straw that broke Tesla's back. But Elon Musk, because you don't sell anything in China without the Chinese Communist Party's permission and direct benefit.
Elon!
You have to bribe them to build a mall. You got to bribe them to build a free desalinization plant. To give them stuff, you got to bribe them to take the stuff. And so he wraps up his trip to China in less than 24 hours and came away with a crucial victory. because he's pushing to reignite Tesla's growth in China. So Tesla has the advanced driver assistance service in the car maker's second biggest market. The Chinese said, we don't want it for a couple of reasons. They didn't want to give that detailed of maps to a non-Chinese entity, which would be Tesla. He had to promise that the maps would remain close hold and that the Pentagon's Defense Mapping Agency wouldn't get it, as if we can't see every road in China. He also had to agree to give China the Advanced Driver Assistance Service, which means it will go into every Chinese EV car and every non-EV car, because you have to transfer technology if you have it. If what they determine is of greatest value, $1 billion in cash or that technology, they will take the technology. Ask Boeing what it took to do subassemblies in China. The Chinese wanted to see techniques, machinery, the whole thing, and they wanted it bolted down in China. I mean, you got to give up the farm to sell stuff in China. That's that. And that's why their new twin-engine 737 killer internally, it looks like Boeing made it, because Boeing pretty much kind of did. Thing three.
Third thing.
Or that's the second thing, I guess. Back to MSNBC. The other narrative, they're falling back on, but democracy is at stake. And that is the worst campaign slogan ever, because it's intuitively just wrong. That, so you're saying when I go vote, you're going to say I can vote to end voting, huh? But this particular drama queen is called Nicole Wallace.
I've seen that toast.
And she used to work for the Bush White House. And
a bunch of times, but it landed very differently this year. Because
Biden mumbled to democracy or something at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and people mumbled back.
You know what happens in November, 7 months from right now? This time next year, I might not be sitting here. There might not be a White House Correspondents' Dinner or a free press.
They never explained how that would happen. I mean, by what authority? I happen to have, do you see right here, Greg, the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. And no, the process of canceling an amendment such as this first one, so that's what you're saying, that with you guys in charge, you're not getting rid of the Second Amendment because you know it's a waste of time, yet somehow you're not going to have a job next year?
Well, our democracy exactly fall apart immediately without it. The real threat.
Gee, why are we losing viewers so much? So
what was at stake tonight was whether we will be a democracy in the future, whether our children will be arrested and conceivably killed.
Eaten?
We're on the edge of a brutal authoritarian system, and it could be a week away.
So anyway, there's that again. That is their official network presidential historian speculating that children will be jail? Is that what he said, or Eden? Is that me saying Eden? I can't drop
we
the
will be
cannibal.
A democracy in the future, whether our children will be arrested and conceivably killed.
Killed by cannibals. That's the thing. So on Newsmax, Eric Bolling, maybe you remember him from Big Fox, and he was Me Too'd out of there, and Newsmax and Cotter picked him up, and he was showing a piece of video that that I've never seen. And it was when you're a president and you're up there on the dais, and at some point at the correspondents' dinner, you do get to eat dinner. But I've never seen him eat. But if you've ever seen, and this is no rub on you old people, I think you old people should get all the nutrition you want. But you see some old people eating that need help. And he was like literally pushing the fork along the plate just to get a fork full of salad. And I've never seen, and I mean, the lettuce was hanging off his lips like a Komodo dragon.
Fourth thing.
Yeah, this is fourth thing. And I think Eric Bowling's play-by-play says it all. It paints the picture for you.
Full calf for large loads.
Nope. A little bit of tide goes
over. Ew, no, not that. Here we go.
Here's the president of the United States, the man with the nuclear codes at his fingertips, grappling with a bowl of lettuce. He can barely feed himself. Let's watch this for a second. This isn't slowed down. This isn't edited. This is Joe trying to eat a bite of salad.
And you have to see it because he's spot on. And when you put it in perspective like that, that, and by the way, the president doesn't have like a binder of codes. He has the authority. He has a little card that he has to bounce out the Secretary of Defense. I mean, you can hear the incredulation in his voice on that one.
Would you like to come to dinner with Larry and me?
No, thank you. I've seen Larry eat.
So tell us about our guest. So with America's universities coming apart at the seams.
Burning before our eyes.
And not making a darn bit of sense. Just everything is not part of the narrative or whatever she said over and over.
My name's Lillian.
It's nice to meet you. Why are you here today?
I'm here in support of the students, and I think that it's really important that everyone who stands with Palestine and Gaza right now is also standing with these students who are, you know.
Are you standing with the loose zebra? I'm standing with the zebra.
Next segment, we will welcome political strategist and America First Works executive director Ashley Hayek to talk about the mayhem on college campuses.
I'm calling for that zebra's divestment from Israel or zebraness or something.
Leading the way in the U.S.
How do you feel about them taking over the building right now?
I think that their cause is a just cause, and I hope that the administration really hears their demands. I think they're just demands.
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what they...
All right, we'll get a true narrative from Ashley here in just a second as elite universities full of bourgeois, spoiled suburban kids display their entitlement and will only answer what they want to answer till they tell you to get out of their face, which is about to happen. But Ashley Hayek back with us on that right after this, AM 770 KTTH.
Bring it on.
Nice to meet you. Why are you?
AM 770 KTTH. We take you an hour ago to the sidewalks of the storied campus of Columbia University in Manhattan, New York, where the students have taken over the executive Hamilton Executive Administration Building like they did in 1968. And you've heard me playing John Wayne to death on that one just because it's funny.
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
Well, the answer is it's a really false narrative. You know, there's video of it and stuff.
Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
My colleague just came back.
This is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
And you just end the interview. Anyway, Ashley Hayek, executive director of the America First Foundation. Sorry for calling you Selma Hayek, but same spelling. It's just that she's a neighbor because she's part of this wacky cult where I live, where they worship a 40,000-year-old warrior called Ramtha. I mean, believe it or not. But anyway, you join us, and where is the where is the America First Works? Are you anywhere near this hooey?
No, fortunately, we're not, but we do have state chapters in Florida, Arizona, Texas, Pennsylvania, across the country. Our headquarters is out of Washington, D.C., but it's absolutely unbearable watching what's happening on these college campuses now.
Did you hear what Governor DeSantis said? We're not daycare. You start expelling people, and you watch how this stuff dries up. And so at University of Florida, they did. And they handed people notices of suspension, and they're on notice that they'll be a hearing. and the whole thing, and people are packing up their tents.
That's exactly right. University of Florida itself has demonstrated, I think, a balanced approach. They allow for free expression, but they are going to prohibit any type of hate speech, anti-Semitism, violence. And let's be clear, what's happening at Columbia, that is not free speech. It is hate speech. If it were any other demographic, there would be riots all over the state. I think at this point, because the institution has showed that they are not able to handle this, that the governor and the mayor should get involved immediately, no doubt.
Now, let me ask you this. As a legendary Republican strategist, if you're Trump, how do you weaponize this? Because I think it's a even though what happens on a private college campus doesn't affect anybody on the West Coast or anyone in America, really, unless you're running job interviews, and why would you at this point? But it is leading every Biden-leaning channel, CNN, MSNBC. I think this makes, because Biden hasn't said anything about it, it makes him look really bad. Trump just spoke in New York, and he brought up, because it's leading every news outlet in New York, he brought up that the president hasn't made a statement because he's terrified of young Democrats, isn't he?
Well, that's exactly right. He's terrified of the progressive wing of his party, which is now the mainstream wing of his party. It's completely radicalized, and it's on full display for the country to see. You know, this DEI, this woke racist ideology has been injected into higher ed institutions, these elite institutions. All Donald Trump has said and all he needs to say is October 7th would not have happened if I were president. And he's exactly right. Russia would not have invaded Ukraine if I was president. He's exactly right. Now we have China circling. And none of this would happen if Donald Trump were president. And that's all he has to say. And he's exactly right. There's a level of insecurity that's happening across the country. I think parents are feeling that, having sent their children off to college, hoping for a great education. And instead, several of these students are being sent home, being told that it's unsafe now to go to school. Many are being indoctrinated with this radical ideology. It's not really about free thought or free expression. It's about racism and one-sided viewpoints. And these groups, these college groups that are organizing these protests, are Soros-funded groups that are telling people to rise up, to be radical, death to America, death to Jews. Intifada is another, you know, kill the Jews. It's just, it's unbelievable. So I think between the suburban parents who are sending their children to school, the truck driver who says, I don't want to pay for these radical, crazy people's student loan debt. Taxpayers need to wake up and realize that these elite institutions are getting tens of thousands of dollars in grant money from the federal government, our tax dollars. And there is a very clear distinction between a America first, national security president who believes in equality, Donald J. Trump, and then what the chaos that we're seeing on college campuses and around the world today.
Well, what's really funny is the parallels between like what's going on at UCLA, where Jewish students are now viral on TikTok and Instagram, being barred from walking on a campus sidewalk because it's being occupied by a bunch of people dressed up like terrorists or wearing the Palestinian, the Arafat keffiyeh. And because a guy is wearing a Star of David, because it was like Passover and stuff just a few days ago, he's being barred because of his Jewishness. So the parallel is that in 1934 in Germany, Jews were being fired from universities and they were being kicked out of universities and they were not being hired by chemical labs or whatever. And so the word was out, don't be here. You might want to pack some things and go. And it's, to sit there and discriminate undergraduates and let other undergraduates do it. And the echo of, of stormtroopers and Hitler Youth, you know, chasing Jews down the street of Hamburg. It's just bizarre that nobody on the liberal side of the aisle is saying, you know, there's something really wrong about this because they're terrified of their 23-year-olds. It's nuts.
Well, And they're not just not saying anything. You have people like AOC and some White House officials that label the protests and these acts as peaceful. That's a gross misrepresentation of what's actually happening, of the actual events on the ground. And it also diminishes the threats that are faced by Jewish Americans today. And then the fact that you have just inadequate media coverage on these issues, particularly the underreporting of the anti-Semitic events or incidents, I mean, that also contributes to the lack of accountability of this extremism. They don't want to cover it because they know it hurts their political party, and that's completely wrong. There's a piece of legislation that's being driven forth right now in Congress, and there are certain U.S. senators, Democrat U.S. senators, who refuse to co-sign on this anti-Semitism bill. John Tester is not on there. Why not? Why not the senator from the swing state of Montana? Is he fearful of the young students on his campus? Those are questions we need to ask. And all of these legislators who refuse to speak out, and the officials who refuse to take action, they should all be held accountable this November.
And that's what Trump did a few minutes ago in the reverby hallway of the prison there in Manhattan. And I played for you, but I don't think you can hear it. It's pretty reverby. But he brought up the student protests, and the ball is really in Biden's court. Right now, their strategy is keep quiet about it and it'll go away. But if Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN all took him live saying Biden hasn't said a thing, and, you know, if you're trying to energize elderly Jewish voters in Florida to maybe think about voting for you, if he doesn't say something pretty decisive, say goodbye to them. I'll play it here for the audience. I'll try to clean it up. But if you know anyone on the campaign, tell him to go somewhere less reverby. Because that's what killed Kevin McCarthy. He wouldn't talk unless it was reverby. You know, and for those of us in the media, it's hard to play that sound. So, go ahead.
And I'll tell you, I've seen on social media posts, like very liberal social media accounts, where they're actively calling for protests in target states. They want Joe Biden on record. They want their senators, their congressional members, their president to lean in on this pro-Hamas rhetoric. And if they do, it's going to be the kiss of death for the Democrat Party, especially this November, because it will finally expose what they've been hiding for so long. If they do not, you have a targeted number of voters who could ultimately decide the election in states like Minnesota, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. So this is not working in favor of the Democrat Party whatsoever, and it's going to destroy their party from the inside out and truly expose who they are.
So let me ask you this about Montana. Tester, the Democrat, very vulnerable. Is the Senate Campaign Committee, is the DSCC, are they giving him money? Because his thing is he can come out as pro-Israel as he wants because there's like eight hippies in Montana. They would not get the Chuck Schumer effect of New York with 300 people outside of his office, claiming that that Chuck Schumer's a Nazi or something. But Tester's less vulnerable because of that, but that would be really funny to get him in a corner like that.
But I do think, you know, we forget that the Christian community is so, you know, strongly supportive of Israel. So this isn't just about Jewish Americans. This is also about Christians who support Israel in a very meaningful, very big way. And when they see this happening to their Jewish brothers and sisters, when they see the rhetoric against Israel, when they see, you know, the students on these campuses justifying, you know, the slaughtering of women and children in Israel, that does invoke strong emotions from, you know, your Christian base. And, you know, Tester needs every vote possible in the state of Montana, so he cannot take anything for granted.
And I mean, I get angry emails from people that say I'm oversimplifying by calling them pro-infant decapitation. But I mean, if you're camping for Hamas, then you're pro-gang rape and pro-child decapitation, and that's by their own proud admission in phone calls to their mommies and GoPro cameras and stuff. And that's what you're protesting for. So. Ashley, it seems pretty easy to message against. But we'll see. Ashley Hayek from America First, Executive Director of America First. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, when we come back, I'll play that very reverby audio from Trump. If we'll get a ruling from Greg here.
The Biden protests that are going on are horrible. It's all caused.
Now, could you understand what he said?
Something about Biden protests.
Okay. All right. Then when we come back, I mean, this is him unveiling a line of attack that I think is pretty brilliant right now, is get Biden to say out loud, because he has to defend himself by saying, I'm tough on Netanyahu. Then Trump is calling him out today. So that and more when we come back. AM 770 KTTH. Somebody KTTH, Brian Suits here. I find that I think a lot of people, if we're talking about reminding Nancy Pelosi that anybody who was president in 2020 would have been presiding over the biggest job losses since the Great Depression because we locked down. But am I right in thinking that a Amazonable outdoor equipment retailer should have had a pretty good pandemic?
You're talking about REI?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, not just REI losing $311 million in 2023, because I'm a member. I get a vote.
Sounds like a lot of money.
It is. Revenue is $3.76 billion. I haven't used my dividend yet. Down 2.4%, which is 2.4% from $4 billion. Anyway, but it just seems to me like if you were in that position, 2020, I mean, how many Pelotons did they sell that year? And now it's bouncing back. They can't give them away because there's no pandemic anymore. So I that would be a question for me for CEO Eric Arts. When I got the company employee found out yesterday, there may be some layoffs because we've had some losses. I just don't get. Anyway, I know I've never been in Dick's Sporting Goods more than when they reopened and realized we're sitting on a gold mine because everyone is going to convince themselves they're sitting home getting in shape. But anyway, so REI says they're pledging efficiency and new stores. So I have some suggestions. I mean, there's times that my regular is, if not the actual home base, the mothership down the street there, which I think is overstaffed at 9:30 on a Wednesday. I think there's too many people working there. And if not that one, then the one in Tacoma, you know, by the Chick-fil-A. I
think that all the inventory is overpriced. I need a jacket. I walk into REI and I see $300 jacket. I can't afford that kind of
buy
stuff.
Buy four.
It seems like I need a pair of gloves. Well, they're $59. For gloves? What are we doing here?
I know. And that's why I got to tell you, that's where used sporting goods stores are doing great, except they're not buying back your Peloton. Sorry, because they can't sell that thing. Like Play It Again. I think I invented Play It Again, but someone else thought of it first. But I go there first before I go to REI. Maybe I'm part of the problem.
I do offer up in Craigslist before I go to the REI personally.
Yeah, that's the thing is like a used 25-pound kettlebell is still 25 pounds. It's like, it's got nicks. You know why? Because it's iron, and they have them, and they're in stock and all that. So anyway, here's Trump has been fined for some violations of the gag order. And it's $1,000 a pop, and he doesn't like spending money. But with the disarray right in front of you on cable news, like I say, there's none of this happening in the UW. In fact, some people are packing up their tents for their silly demand that no one buy things from Boeing. I don't know where they even know about Boeing defense, but anyway, if they're not in class. But Trump brought that up and brought up that Biden has lost his marbles and that there was a overnight a Emerson University Pew poll that showed that Trump is leading all across the board and people have way more confidence in him and his economy, certainly than Biden's. And so they're striking back by saying, well, yeah, but no one had more, as Nancy Pelosi said, no one had more job losses than Trump, and had to be corrected that there was a global pandemic.
He said you're not allowed to say that. And so you'll all figure it out. But I think the public has figured it out because the poll numbers are higher than ever been. And I appreciate you treated me, actually, I thought, quite fairly, at least the people here, which is a lot of people. And
so he's talking about the judge finding him in contempt of court and finding him per violation $1,000 for a total grand total of $9,000, and then he got more reverb. Well, what's your ruling on this? Reverb?
Yeah.
Okay. He gets to Biden's marbles.
I appreciate that. The Biden protests that are going on are horrible. It's all caused by him because he doesn't know how to speak. He can't put two sentences together.
That's great. Just calling it Biden protest.
Look, the only politicians speaking with moral clarity on this so far are Republicans. Mike Johnson, Ron DeSantis.
Even Fetterman.
Donald Trump.
The honorary Republican.
Yeah. John Fetterman, yes. But here is Mike Johnson on the Capitol Hill today.
Not that. What these students are doing is shutting down the campuses, taking control of buildings. They are threatening their students' lives. They are chanting death to America. At some point, you cross the line, and they have. This is not protected free speech. What this is doing is violating the rights of others. Jewish students who are merely on campus trying to get an education, who are playing by the rules, they're impeded from going to class. They're impeded. They're told not to come onto the university campus where they are paying tuition, and they have valid ID cards to be.
But they're plotting Zionist world domination. That's what I was taught.
Good point.
In Econ 201 and plotting the overthrow of the... Anyway. And so this, I think, hits spot on target because, as I say, I know that I'm not paying a dime to Columbia University. If they want to tolerate this crap, they're going to pay. They're going to be sued by the students, if not their parents. And also the degree is going to mean crap when no one gets hired because they have a Columbia 24 diploma. So they'll find out. Anyway, Trump is correct to call it the Biden protests.
He's got to get out and make a statement because the colleges are being overrun in this country. The anti-Semitism, all of the problems going on, they're being overrun. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, you weren't there in 1968, now were you? But John Wayne was. But meanwhile, the UW, if I was at UW, I would be deeply embarrassed. You have a student who feels threatened on your campus, the granddaughter of Holocaust survivors, and she wears a bracelet in their memory, and she feels threatened because these punks that are taking over Red Square are saying from the river to the sea without knowing a damn thing what they're talking about and calling for divestment in Boeing or something.
Yeah, we are here in the quad on the University of Washington campus, and you can see over my shoulder that it appears that some of these pro-Palestinian protesters are now taking down their tents. There had been a lot of concern here on campus after what we have seen with protests across the country. The quad.
I have to come up with like a megaphone filter or something. You know what I realize? There's nothing. First of all, folks, it's a megaphone. You don't yell into it. But a 22-year-old woman yelling into a megaphone is the worst sound in the world. It really is. I mean, more than Dumb and Dumber. I mean, that old joke. I mean, really. And the thing is, when I was putting together my montage this morning, I had a couple bits of audio just to illustrate to people how annoying they are. I won't play them because you will drive off the road to make that sound go away. And that's the thing. It's sort of a loose principle in radio to get people to listen to the radio.
So what in the world is this?
Yeah, you don't play crap like that because it's just annoying, or the Kamala laugh or whatever. And the outbreak of megaphone misuse this week so far, here, and it's only Tuesday, is pretty extraordinary. And the outbreak of Red Square misuse.
Spot known for cherry blossoms.
Now the seed for something else.
And demanding from the universities divestment and cutting ties with companies that fund and supply the occupation in Palestine.
Matias Shabbat helped to organize this sit-in on university grounds.
Ladies, he's single and unshowered. I'll play it next hour. But there's a Jewish student who identifies herself as the granddaughter of Holocaust survivors, and she doesn't feel comfortable on your campus. So you do something about that is what you do, or you shut up and you hang your moral authority up in the closet and just go away. Back in second AM, 770 KTTH.